Again, I want to stress what this practice is, and I can tell you this, that with some of you, I am very, very pleased. Some of you are beginning to really grasp this emptiness. Now, I'm not talking about looking out at emptiness here, but emptying yourself out, emptying yourself and becoming an empty vessel. This is what the great Christian mystic, he was a priest, Meister Eckhart, see, he had to say. He said, make yourself an empty vessel. He said, and then he said, allow God to fill it. See, in a certain sense, it isn't even a question of God filling it. God, if we think in terms of however you want to translate God, see, into this Buddha mind, there is no place that it isn't already fully and totally developed. The point with the empty vessel, see, is that begins to free you from the delusional mind. If you can't experience emptying yourself out and yet having that focus, very clear. It isn't blanking out. See, very clear. See, and once that starts, and some of you are talking to me about it now, you're seeing this. Now, this is what we sustain, and it doesn't matter what your practice. See, if your practice is counting the breath, then this mind, see, it's like the old master said, look up at the sky. You see, in a clear, look at that, the vastness of that sky. See, then when you look down, that's the condition of your mind. And then he says, and clouds will float through, but they do not hinder the sky. A thought. See, it simply floats through. You don't grasp at the thought. See, some of you still think your thoughts are valuable. You still think that you're accomplishing things with it, but you're not. See, what you're doing is you're condemning yourself, see, to pain and suffering. See, there is nothing that you can dream up in your head, see, that has any true value for you. See, again, we go on in this a little further. But the other point that I want to make out, see, is some of you still are laboring under the assumption that some sort of a psychedelic thing that you think you have experienced or you think you're going to experience, something psychedelic in your head, and you sit there and you just know, now I'll produce it. I'm going to produce it. Open your eyes. The miracle is right here. See, this is the miracle. And the moment you go back into your intellect, you say, well, this isn't a miracle. This is my same shitty life. Well, you don't know what your life truly is. All you know is what it is to be a schizophrenic. See? And that's what you are, a schizophrenic. You are at war with yourself. See, you're involved in self-destruction. We had somebody who had a nice insight into this. She's not here. Kogan was talking to me yesterday. See, and this is how it opens. It opens, see, in the most ordinary way. But here's how it actually happens, the wonder. And again, we're just touching. See, it was an interesting thing to me. I didn't tell her at the time. Kogan came in and she was saying, she's doing pretty good. I can just look at her and see, she's doing pretty good. See, and I didn't feel that there's ways that I can prop people up and ways that I don't. I didn't need to prop her up. We could have a dialogue. See, and she wanted to tell me about an experience she'd had at Target. See, at Target. And it mirrored my experience many, many years ago at Akron's. Probably most of you don't know what an Akron is. Mujo, do you know what an Akron is? Well, they were the first of the, it was Akron, wasn't it?
It was like where you had to be a member, right?
No. This was the first of like Pier 1 Imports. It was the patterned in a chain like the big Pier 1 at San Francisco. Do you ever remember that? Where he had traveled and brought in all of the, I forget what it was called. Trader Vic? Yeah. Well, well, I was wondering if it wasn't the same kind of a takeoff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it was the most amazing store. The hippies loved it.
Oh, yeah.
He traveled all over the world, through Africa, through the Middle East, and he brought, and you would come into them. And then Pier 1 is sort of a knockoff on that, and Akron's was a chain that basically started with those same kinds of situations. Well, it was standing in a checkout line in Akron's that I first had this really nice experience. Now, briefly, I'll tell you what Kogan did. She saw a situation developed that she would have normally had problems with. She would have normally come away, probably, as she said, acting a fool, alienating everyone. But instead, she just got very clear, she just very organized, and had this amazing experience with a checkout clerk. And she said, Nyogen, it was so amazing. What could have been a very ugly situation ended up, she said, you know, it's like we immediately bonded. See, she said, we almost could have hugged as we left. He talked about the difficulties that he had, and it was so nice to have somebody come through. See, and this appreciation. See, this is what how the practice begins to work. If you think some silly notion, some psychedelic notion that you're holding in your head, see, you're going to go through life and you're still going to end up terrified, getting old, getting sick, and dying. And you'll still hold a fantasy waiting for it, and all you'll do is you'll tumble in the hell realms, because in the Bardol state you will not be able to sustain it. You will tumble, you will again push yourself back onto the path of pain and suffering. And you know your pain and suffering, don't you? It isn't going to be ignored. It's over and over and over. See, now what, and I told her, Kogan, this is how your practice opens. This is what it means. See, because you have not and you cannot free yourself from the dualistic mind by thinking about it. See, well, I can figure it out. No, you can't. Spiritual geniuses have tried to figure it out, and they can't. And what's the message that they give us? Stop trying to figure it out. Stop relying, see, on the conceptual mind. See, all that does is dig the hole deeper. See, I'm reading one of the teachings from one of the very famous yogas of, I forget when, but hundreds of years ago. See, and he takes you through these various steps. And do you know what the final outcome is? And he says in here, you have to contend with these three major issues. Well, we can talk about these major issues from a lot of different perspectives. But essentially, they break down to greed, anger, and ignorance. And he said, I don't care what religion you belong to. You have to move through this space. You have to move through this obsession to the egocentric self. You have to move, see, through the fear and the pain and the suffering. See, you have to become selfless. See, no other way. You can pray until you're blue in the face. And that's exactly how they'll bury you, blue in the face. See, no transcendence. See, ultimately, he leads you through all of these steps. Ultimately, what is it? Samadhi. Samadhi. See, a state of non-distracted awareness. Kogan, standing in the checkout line, somehow or another, freed herself. See, freed herself enough that she could take the moment instead of living in a hell realm. Some of you in here, think about how much time you have spent during this session in a hell realm. It's of your own making. See, my own experience in Akron, I used to hate waiting in lines. I didn't like large groups. And I was one of these who could also get into all sorts of arguments and conflicts. See, and clerks, I would, crazy clerk, why don't they do this? I was standing in a line, waiting to be checked out, watching a person begin to hassle with the clerk. And for some reason, because of where my practice was, I saw my own picking and choosing starting. I saw my own judgment starting. And the moment I saw that, I simply dropped it. And I pulled the ox back on the path. Right here. And you know what happened? It was the most amazing thing. I watched like theater. See, I'm never pissed off in a theater. I watched theater. It was amazing. There were characters playing their parts. See, and for it was this wonderful. I almost was remorseful when I got up to the checkout center. It was wonderful to watch all of this. See, Lurleen driving back, seeing the same things over and over again. See, I hammer on this because she brought it up. She wanted to talk about it here. See, but the point is she looked at the same roadway, at the same setting, but it was different. Why was it different? She was out of the egocentric mind. We continuously have these moments to peek through, but see, if you are so trapped in your mind that you don't even allow a gap, see, a gap, a moment of, wow, this is quite amazing. See, this ordinary place of chopping wood, we don't chop wood, booting up your computer. I guess you don't even boot up a computer anymore. See, turning on your computer. See, making coffee, watering the garden, taking the kids to school. See, do you realize all of this is Chan? Or it's samsara and it's a hell realm. It is all dependent upon your strength. This great yogi said, ultimately, he talks about the step, and they have two steps in the samadhi. This is called refinement. It's the same thing. They use just a different language. Our samadhi, see, at first is wavering in and out. There is still the attachment to the I involved with the samadhi. For a moment it's there. The moment I recognize it, I close it with this I. I'm having an experience. See, a number of people have the experience up here. And each one of them, you will occasionally see, they will sit in a bliss for a moment. They come in to see me. And the first thing I tell them, don't hold on to it. It's already gone, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Why? See, that's the abnormal state? No, that is the ordinary state. The grasping is the abnormal state that you think is normal. You think that you can produce that. You can't produce squat. The only thing you can produce is pain and suffering. This is why some of you are non-doing. Well, now how do I do non-doing? Take care of your practice. See, trust in it. See, when it's time to count your breath, count your breath. If it's time to follow your breath, follow your breath. If you work on a koan, you work on a koan. But what you do when you sit down is you begin to empty yourself out. See, so that this amazing, vast, empty sky mind, literally, this is how I experience it. And who was it? Somebody, Hoso was telling me this. She said, Nyogen, how many times? She said, I've read that hundreds of times. Sure, they keep screaming it at us, but you know more than they do. You know more than the great geniuses of the path, and you sure as a hell know your idea of how it's supposed to be is going to work out. And how has that worked out for you? You're constantly angry. You're constantly in conflict. You're constantly upset. See, that's what you value? Now what I'm learning, all I can say is, God bless you. I hope it works out for you. But it's a hell realm, and hell realms only burn you. See, they only cause pain and suffering. See, this vast open mind. Then I go, and some of you, count the breath at first. The great Kori Roshi was a man who possessed the siddhas, the power. This isn't a character in a book. I sat sashin with him. I have talked sometimes, and people won't believe, I'm quite certain. But I experienced the most amazing thing with this very, very ordinary little man. And who was there when the atom bomb was dropped? He was a civil defense worker. He monitored the block. He saw the flash. Usually, if you see the flash, your eyes are turning into muck, and you're a shadow on the wall that you were standing in front of. Kori Roshi dropped. And the story that he told while I was there with Roshi was that it is samadhi that saved him. He did have a permanent burn around his waist, but he lived where those around him didn't. And Kori Roshi maintained that it was his samadhi. See, it never crossed my mind until I read something a year or two ago, I don't remember now how long ago it was, where one of the students, I know the person, see, had translators in with Kori Roshi. He didn't speak English. But I never had a translator. I don't know, maybe I should look Roshi up and bitch and moan and say, wasn't I good enough to have a translator in there? But what I did have was the most amazing teachings from this little man. See, and this is absolutely true again. I used to leave Doksan, particularly the evening, see, and I'd go back to my room where I was sleeping, and I would lie there looking at the ceiling, trying to figure out, now what is it that's just happened? Because Kori Roshi gave me talks in Technicolor. Now don't ask me to explain anymore. He gave me talks in Technicolor. See, what was going on with this man? And he was the most ordinary person that you would ever want to see. I was at his place in Japan, sits on the edge of a beautiful, beautiful river. He came from a well-to-do family. Kori Roshi never had to work. But he utilized that gift from the Buddha, see, to actualize his practice. But his place was so beautiful. I had actually pictures around here someplace still of it, see. So simple. So his zendo was about half the size of this. His room made my room look absolutely palatial. Anybody looked at my room, it's pretty crappy. See, his was just sort of a little tom that wasn't very big there that he slept on, a little wooden desk. See, so simple, so ordinary. And he could have flaunted wealth, but so simple and so ordinary. See, this is the thing that we can't get. See, those of us who are still so stuck in my way. See, the way is rather simple. All you have to do is take care of your practice. And when the difficulties, see, your resistance comes up, you simply sweep it away. You don't try to suppress anything. Does the vast sky try to suppress the clouds? No. They simply allow the cloud to float through. See, the thought comes through. You have to grab at the thought. You grab at the emotions. See, oh no, they just come on me. I have no power. You have total power. See, if you could actually enter into the deep state of samadhi, they do not come. See, you are the one who produces all of the delusional thinking. See, and again, once you begin to free yourself in this amazing space, see, this is a space of samadhi. See, it's a funny thing. Mazen can probably tell you better than anybody out here. She periodically will send me certain things. But it doesn't appear that there's anybody out there in our Zen world who thinks of samadhi in any way other than just sort of a silly little interesting sideline. See? But all of the sutras, all of the Chan masters, all of the Sufis, all of these great yogis coming out of India to show you, it's samadhi. See, this is the only way it can be. It is the state of being. Don't you get it? See, this is what makes you so remarkable. You, see, are sitting here in this amazing place that Shakyamuni Buddha saw it. See, and how wondrous, how wondrous. See, and look at his effort. Nearly killing himself in his effort. Now, we don't have to do that. See, I pushed pretty hard. I pushed myself to where like Lurline, but I was passing out. See, in the Zendo, getting up to walk, fell over on my back, went home, fell over on my back. See, exhaustion, 5 days and five nights. You don't have to do that. I'm telling you, it's been done for you. The Shakyamuni has already done this for us. if you can enter into the Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment, if you can enter in, what was it, the Shirogama Sutra, where Shariputra asked him, Buddha looked out. See, and again, you don't believe the stories. See, I believe it 100%. He looks out and he describes each time he says what he's looking at. See, you describe what you're looking at. You describe what you're feeling. Ah, see, he looks out and he sees a treasure. He sees a Buddha field. He sees a heaven realm. See, turn it into this amazing Garden of Eden. That's fine. That's fine. This amazing place. You're responsible for this dynamic circle that you, if you were an Aikido player, see, you, that's what you control. This dynamic sphere, this dynamic circle. See, and how broad is that? There are no ends to it. It is like the sky, vast emptiness. And when I sit with that, do you realize it's, these walls don't contain it? But I don't make up anything. See, I don't go into the egocentric mind. We have to free ourselves from that. So this, oh master, but leading into this, there's a couple of things that I want to reinforce. See, for this is a strong session, and it's almost over already. See, you can sustain the effort. He says, do you want to know the root of the sickness that you're plagued with? He said, it's nothing else, just this clinging to difficulty and ease, arbitrarily giving rise to grasping and rejecting. Think about how you've been practicing. Think about the frustration. I'm trying so hard, I can't do anything. I know that. I've been there. I did that for years and years and years. See, and what I'm suggesting, see, is to take the backward step now. See, simply drop all expectations. See, be satisfied. And let's see where they go with this, if they'll tell you, see, what it is that we're supposed to be focusing on. He said, if this root of disease is not utterly extirpated, that's digging it out, see, you will float and sink. You will float and sink in the sea of birth and death without ever getting out. Okay, what is he saying? Let's look at this. There's this amazing vast mind, this totally empty space. See, as I look out here, this narrow band, see, tied down by the six senses, there's birth, there's death. See, we watch it coming up, settling, coming up, settling. Birth and death. This is the delusional realm of the egocentric self. You're trapped in the six senses. That gives you this feeling of separation. But this vast, open, this vast, this just becomes empty. See, you don't try to understand it. See, if you don't free yourself from the grasping and the rejecting, from seeking the easy, see, and rejecting, see, the difficult, you don't free yourself from this realm. You just do this. I think in the Eight Beliefs, Yasutani actually does this. Is that right? Yeah. See, this is all you do. All you do. See, do you realize what an amazing thing that you actually are? That if you can wake up,